property, we want to make sure their campers are not disturbed either. We have a campground, so we would understand if there was a lot of noise. These machines are very quiet, though. They are not the souped-up, loud four-wheelers and side-by-sides you see sometimes. These are more top-of-the-line, state-of-the-art, and that's kind of the trend in the new technologies is, you know, it has all touchscreen technologies, and they're not loud, so people can actually enjoy what they're doing and not scare off the wildlife, too. So. I do have some letters. Some of our neighbors have sent letters in of support. If I can hand those to you.
Let's go to you.
I'll give them to the chairman, and I'll make sure and get copies before.
I think I have enough for everybody. I might be going short. Ross Summers with Trophy Run, he is supporting us. Hughes Marine, The Hungry Hunter, Jim Pulley, well, Tim's here. He's going to speak. Vickery Resort on Paradise Point.
These machines, they are tracked by GPS, so we're very clear on what the rules are, where they can go. The trails are very clearly marked with signage. And we can keep track of where they are at all times. In the event of emergencies, we do have a medical EMS plan. Most of us are Western Taney County firefighters. I've been on Western for 24 years. We have highway patrolman on staff that's one of our dive instructors. We're looking to hire about four or five employees this year between the two businesses. They'll work both the side-by-side business and the kayaks and scuba. Let's think of what else. It's definitely a family-oriented business. We want to bring... it's not for real kids coming in. Our minimum age to drive is 25 years old, so it's not going to be a bunch of kids tearing up in there.
Okay. Pretty detailed presentation. Thank you.
I hope it was.
Let's see if we have any questions.
Yes,
for you.
Very good, very good.
What size machines are you going to use?
These are
horsepower, CC powered.
They are 100 horsepower. They're the 1,000 models. So we have six Polaris Generals that are four doors. We have two-door Razors. And then these machines are replaced every year. So because this is a Polaris program, when somebody registers for this program, they're going to be in the Polaris system now, and obviously that's who they're going to market to. If they're interested in riding a Polaris, these run about $275 for 2 hours, $375 for 3 hours. They're right there in that demographic that Polaris is looking for. When these machines come up for a factory, they'll go to a factory refurb. Polaris is going to try to sell them.
These are not guided tours, though.
These are not guided. They will get to drive their own machines. Now, we have the option to guide
age
them.
Age limitations on the riders?
25 to drive, and they must be where their feet are on the floorboard when they're buckled in. And this machine, it won't go very fast if the seat belts aren't buckled. It has
belts.
A safety.
They're
going to
wear a seat belt.
Yep. We do require helmets and eye protection. So we went all out on the helmets. We bought top-of-the-line motocross helmets. They're required to have eye protection. Now, sunglasses will suffice, but if they don't, we have $5 cheapy safety glasses they can wear.
Hours of operation?
Our hours are 9 to 6. That's our standard across the board, and I really don't want to work any later than that if I don't have to.
You're self-employed. How does that work out?
It doesn't. Like I said, I like to. With the diving, typically we go a little longer than that. The campground, we get late check-ins, especially on the weekends. So. And on Western Taney County Fire, I work 24/7. So.
Are you going to sell them too, or just?
No, sir. No, we're not even able to sell these used ones. Believe me, I've had that question probably more than anything.
How close are your trails going to come to have, you're sited on two sides of a government land.
Exactly. So the Corps actually owns this property, and they lease it to the state park.
Okay.
So, let's take a look here. So this is all Corps, and the Corps, this is the Altus family property right here, and they have access from here. I believe the Altus family owned all of this at one time.
Yeah, they did.
And they sold it to the guy in Florida. So this is all Corps leased to the state park, and the state park has trails, hiking trails all through here. So very, the closest place we touch this is right here in the beginning. The trail comes down and cuts back here. This is very steep right in here. It's, I don't know if
it... I mean, you'll have to forgive me, but everybody you send out on a four-wheeler is not going to abide by the rules.
It's a good point.
I'm concerned about the things and about your control of it.
Absolutely.
Like you've worked on it hard.
Well, I have spoke with the state park, and ironically, we have set up a program that you are going to get a ticket automatically from the state if you cross into the state park property. And I have absolute proof on that because I have GPS tracking on that, and I have their driver's license. So.
Like I see you've done some of your homework there.
Well, being a neighbor is what I have tried to be a good neighbor is what I've tried to do. So there was a lot of problems when I came in and took over this property. The state park was not happy with the previous management of this old campground. And this was a disaster. It was called Andrew's Landing. It was a drug haven. I don't know how long you've been on the sheriff's office, but all deputies that have been here over 10 years know all about Andrew's Landing.
I've been in Tampa County a long time.
Yeah. So the old motel was torn down in 2014 because we said we were going to move the dive shop out. And they said, forget it. They tore it down. They closed the campground. And when I came to take back over in 15, I reopened the campground. But I had to build some trust with the state park. We went in and cleaned up all the carpet and the trash and all the junk that those people had dumped on the state park property. And, you know, that's good. It helps when I go over there with a fire truck, too, sometimes when they need me. So.
All right. Is anybody in the audience that signed up to speak on behalf or opposed to the application on behalf?
Thank you, Jim.
Hi, I'm Jim Pulley, and I own the Store and Go Storage there at 5575 State Highway 165, just up a little bit to the east of where Lewis is at. One thing I want to say, Lewis has been a great neighbor. He's come down, he's communicated with me every step of the way what he's doing, and he's improved the property down there where he's at, and we're just a pretty tight bunch down there. We kind of take care of each other. And it didn't hurt that I'm going to score a new Polaris Razor, you know, every year because of this deal going through. No, not really. But my main concern that I had, I asked Lewis about, was the buffer back in behind my place. There's kind of an easement or a road back there, and my property kind of goes past the dry creek on up just a little bit past. We pulled it up on satellite. And he assured me that he was not going to use that, number one, for the trail rides, which I appreciate. Number two, his employees won't be using that either, except for in case of an emergency, which I, you know, I'm in full agreement with the emergency part if he needs that. So the neighbors I've spoken to, he's got letters from, and myself, as far as I know, I've never spoken to anybody that has a negative reaction to this at all. We all believe in Lewis and what he's doing, and you know, we're the type, if we have a problem with him, we'll just go talk to him, and we know we'll be taken care of one way or the other. So I just want to kind of give him a positive on this, and I hope it goes well for him.
Okay? All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else signed up to speak? Hearing none. Any more questions for the applicant or discussion amongst ourselves? Do we have enough information for a motion?
I'll move to approve.
We've got a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Did you get that, Scott?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you get that, awesome. Lewis?
I got that right away. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank all of you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
And like I put in our mitigation plan, if any of our neighbors have a problem, you know, we're going to work with them.
All right. I was looking for an extra ranger.
I had a feeling that some people were going to show up about it. So.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That concludes the public hearing and final vote. So we do have one item on old and new business review proposed Taney County zoning regulation amendments. Scott?
Okay. So we'll dive into Article 030.000, which are the shooting ranges. I think I'm pretty sure I provided you both these. I've got them side by side. So the one on your left on the screen are the current shooting range requirements if someone comes through for conditional use. They're all conditional use approvals. What's highlighted in gray is something I'm proposing to delete. The yellow I'd like to look at and discuss if you're comfortable leaving it as is. And then the green is an added verbiage to this. So the right one is the proposed final. And you guys, if you have any thoughts, considerations, we'd bring this through if you desired after both of these amendments we look at tonight to move them forward to the May 10th public hearing and vote. And then, of course, it would go to the County Commission following that. We can pull any of those out that you feel like you want to discuss, or if you need to have me change it. The added verbiage was the no shooting range within 500 feet of an R-zoned or NR-zoned or MH-zoned. I looked at Greene County, Stone County, Christian County, and the only thing they had for shooting ranges that they can't be within 500 feet of an R-zone. So, and realize, this is just a roadmap. If you got an application, you have the ability to add whatever requirement you might feel needs to be added to that location for the safety. If it needs to be shooting in a certain direction because of the terrain, these are the general guidelines to give somebody an idea of what it's going to take to get approval for a shooting range.
The only thing that I see, Scott, that hasn't been mentioned is where you have your shooting lanes and stuff like that. And I know I've had some to do with the shooting place up on 65. And one thing I'd like to see that we'd have some kind of verbiage in there about would be what kind of material would be the backdrop of where the shooting was going on. Because I know there has been occasions where you just fill it with flint rock material, and there's been things that had a problem. Of course, they do mostly shotgunning up there, but I did, at one time, I built a rifle range up there for them, and we had to give it quite a bit of attention.
So that gets into what I was relaying to, site-specific. Now, somebody's shooting into a mountainside, and it just goes up 200 feet, and the range, I mean, that probably can be just whatever's there.
Yeah.
Now, if it's something that's going to be built,
but we should have some control on what they're doing.
Well, you do have. You totally do. Yeah. Every application for conditional use permits, you guys.